Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Wednesday, December the 13th, 2023, and it is the second week of Advent. So this is the Wednesday of the second week of Advent. So we are continuing our readings, Advent readings, each morning. And today we are in the Old Testament prophetic book of Isaiah, the epistle of 2 Thessalonians. We finished up 1 Thessalonians yesterday. And the gospel reading will be from John 7:53, basically John chapter 8, the last part of 7. It's the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus writing in the dirt and all of that. So that'll be our gospel reading. So Isaiah 6, specifically Isaiah 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and John 7 and 8. Hope everybody's doing well today. Right in the, man, it's hard to believe, like, we're headed towards Christmas, like, quick. Very quickly, especially with Christmas Eve on a Sunday. It's so crazy to think, like, this Sunday is the last Sunday before Christmas Eve. That's wild. You know, generally you have four Sundays of Advent and then Christmas Eve, or four Sundays of Advent and then Christmas. But this year, the fourth Sunday of Advent is Christmas Eve. You know, so like usually in worship, you know, you have families come in, like at Bayside at least, and a lot of other churches. You have folks light each week a Advent candle, and then in the middle you have the Christ candle. So each Sunday of Advent, you light all four candles, and then when you come back on Christmas Eve, you light the Christ candle in the middle. Well, this year, Christmas Eve is the fourth Sunday, so you have to light two candles on the same day. Both the Advent and the Christ candle. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, you could probably Google it and ask Google, when's the next time Christmas Eve falls on Sunday? You know, I could ask Alexa. I don't know if she can hear me. But if anybody knows the answer. Alexa, when's the next time Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday? You know what she said? In the year 2023. Yeah, we know that one. Alexa, when is the next time Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday, not in 2023? She's not helping me. She doesn't understand my question. So anyway, if you Google it and find the answer, you can share it with everyone in the comments. So, all right, on to more important matters. All that just say we're moving right through this, man. We're moving through this season pretty quick. So today we are in Isaiah chapter 6, and this is a phenomenal passage. It's Isaiah's calling. Everybody's Alexa saying 2023. Yeah. Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. Let's do it. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said there, but obviously a time of sadness, right? A time when a very influential, good king died. So a low point in the country, a low point even probably for Isaiah personally. It was in that time that he saw the Lord. Hey, and that's an encouragement to somebody today. You may be 2028, really? Okay, that's not too far away. For it to happen again, for Christmas Eve to fall on a Sunday. There must be a leap year or something in there. Yeah, to push it on around. Isaiah, so the good news, I mean, maybe things could be in a slump, or things that are not going great, or just season of sadness, or even grief or mourning, which is what Isaiah and the entire country was doing when King Uzziah died. In that time, he saw the Lord high and seated on a throne, and the train of the robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Wow. Okay, so your chart says 2033. Okay. I don't know. We'll have to look it up. I don't know when the next time Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, is the Lord Almighty. And in Hebrew, you know, in Hebrew, there's no superlatives in the language. So in other words, there's no like best, fastest. So the way Hebrew emphasizes something in terms of making it a superlative is to repeat the word. So there's no word holiest. So to emphasize, something is usually repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy. And that just is basically saying holiest. The holiest one is the Lord Almighty. There's nothing more holy than God. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined." Isn't that an interesting response to being Isaiah's in the temple, so he's in a place of worship, which is also instructive, right? Like even though things are sad, or even in a time of mourning, Isaiah finds his way to the temple, finds his way into the house of God to worship. And unexpectedly, he has an encounter with the Lord, a vision, a holy vision. And in the light of that vision of the holiness of God, he is aware of his own sinfulness. Like me, I'm aware of my condition. It's not like a lot of people who go to church and they're like, "Man, I wish so-and-so was here. They need to hear this sermon." How many of us have done that? "Man, I wish my brother-in-law was here. He needs to hear this sermon. I wish my oldest boy was here. He needs to hear this sermon. I wish my neighbor was here. He needs to hear this sermon." But here, you know, Isaiah's first thought when he sees the Lord isn't, "Man, I wish so-and-so was here. They need to see the Lord." No, his first thought was, "Woe is me." I'm immediately aware of his condition before God. "For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." We all dirty. "And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah sees who the real king is, right? In the year King Uzziah died, mortal human king, Isaiah sees the Lord, and one of the things that God reveals to him just in his presence is that, yes, Uzziah was a human king, but make no mistake who the real king is, Yahweh, the Lord. He saw the king high and lifted up. Then one of the seraphim flew with me with a live coal in his hand, and he had taken the thongs from the altar, tongs, not thongs. It's early, guys. It's early. That's just like when the angels prostrate fall. It's easy to mess that up, too. Tongs, angels prostrate, prostate. Never mind. Anyway, you know what I mean. It's just, there's some words that are close. Oh my goodness. And with tongs from the altar. Oh my goodness. With it, he touched his mouth and said, see, this is, I can't right now. Oh goodness. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Well, coal from the altar. And the altar touched his lips. It atoned for his sin. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for you, for us? And I said, here am I, send me. There's so much to dissect with that. And man, just... that this presence of the God, presence of God, it makes us awareness of our sinfulness. But in grace, God forgives makes it possible for us to find forgiveness of sin, and to be able to be in His presence. We know that's Jesus is that coming at in the season of in the spirit of Advent. Jesus was the coming coal, as it were, from the altar of God, from the presence of God, that would touch us and make us able to be in the presence of God. And after that happens, what happens? Then we want to, how can I, what, Lord, here am I, send me. I mean, Jesus touches our lips and then he says, whom shall I send? To what, to the world? To tell the good news. Here I am, Lord, send me. And I hope this Christmas you are taking that seriously, as am I, to spread the good news to our friends and neighbors, to take the initiative to invite people to worship. It's an easy step to invite them to Christmas Eve services at your church with you or in your home where there'll be a spiritual influence. Here I am, send me. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Isaiah's going to have a hard job, man. He's got to go and proclaim repentance. And people will just become hardened, even more hardened hearted. Then I said, for how long, Lord? And he answered, until the cities lie ruined and without an inhabitant, until the houses are left deserts and fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. Woo! That's a prophetic word of Jesus coming. So Isaiah, keep preaching, man. Keep preaching, keep proclaiming, and do it. Just keep doing it. They're not going to listen. They're going to keep rebelling and keep doing it until the whole place is destroyed, exiled. It's going to be invaded and destroyed, like quite literally, historically. But that last verse is a messianic prophecy. The holy seed will be in the stump in the land. So the seed of Abraham that will eventually be the seed of Messiah will never be destroyed. That stump, the seed will be in the stump. What remains will still be there. Mm. All right, let's read over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 through 12. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Your faith is growing more and more. And that's why we spend time in the Word of God. That's why we spend time with God. That's why we spend time serving and in fellowship, and so that we too can say that our faith is growing more and more and our love for one another is increasing. Verse 5, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and that as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. So they're suffering for their faith. But God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. So there's some comfort. Maybe somebody's giving you a hard time. He will pay back trouble. You're his child. He'll pay back the trouble that you're enduring. This will happen when the Lord. Now you may have to wait a minute for it, though. Here it is. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Wow. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That's pretty clear right there, man. That is pretty clear. This will happen at the coming when Jesus is revealed with a blaze of fire with his full, when he comes with his powerful angels, and he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his second advent. It's going to be a lot different than his first advent. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out of the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on that day. Wait. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on that day. He comes to be glorified in his holy people. That sentence doesn't make sense to me. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On that day, he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. It's like a big run-on sentence. You understand it, but it's like one run-on sentence in English. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. He's going to be glorified in his holy people and be marveled at among all those who believe. It's going to be a glorious day, man. With this in mind, with what in mind? With this great coming of the Lord, with the fact that those who don't know God will be destroyed and those who do will marvel at his, will glory in his glory and marvel at his coming. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. This reminds us of the Isaiah chapter 6, right? Here I am, Lord, send me. Be an ambassador of this good news. Be an ambassador to a world that needs to know God. And we pray that you may live worthy of this calling, and that by his power, he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. We pray that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him. That we, that Jesus's name would be glorified through us, that we would make his name great, and that we would find our identity at the same time in him, that he would be made great through us and we would be found in him, and that identity in him would be our glory. Yeah. All right. Last reading from the gospel today, John chapter 7, verse 53, famous passage. Really chapter 8. Jesus, this powerful story from the life of Jesus. Welcome, everybody. Hope you guys are having a great day. Thanks for being a part of it. Here we go. Chapter 8. Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Man, so Jesus, like Isaiah, is in the temple. Jesus is in the temple, and he's in the temple courts, and he's teaching. And interrupting this time of teaching, or this angry mob of people, religious leaders primarily, who parade this woman into the worship setting and saying, she was caught in the act of adultery. And Moses' law says, stone such a woman. What do you say? But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And a lot of people have hypothesized about what Jesus might have possibly written in the ground. Maybe he wrote down the name of the man who was also committing adultery. Maybe he was listing their sins. Who knows? When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." So, sure, you want to obey the law of Moses? Let's obey the law of Moses. So, but Jesus says, it's not just about whether you witnessed a sin, which is strictly the law, right? It had to be two witnesses. But he's like, no, not just did you witness the sin, but if you have no sin, let the first one let the one without sin be the first to throw the stone. It doesn't mean the whole group has to be without sin. Just one of you, any one of you who's without sin can start this execution. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He wrote down some more sins. I don't know. Maybe he wrote down some more sins that they had. But anyway, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first. That's powerful, because the older were the most influential. They were the most powerful. Once the older ones start walking away, it's game over, because the younger ones are not gonna do it. The older ones are more respected. They have more authority. So the older ones began to walk away first, until only Jesus was left. It's powerful, man, because Jesus is the only one without sin. Now watch this, because, man, here's that visual of Jesus coming and being the coal from the altar that forgives sin. Watch this. Jesus, he's that that burning ember from the altar of God. Only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." That's Isaiah chapter 6. Everyone else departs. It's just her and God. And he forgives her. He offers her forgiveness and doesn't condemn her, but then says, "Now I give you a command, a calling. Now go from here. Go from here and make the good news known. Go leave your life of sin and be an ambassador for what God just did for you. And be an ambassador to others of what God has done for you." God is good, man. All right, you guys, thanks so much for being on today. It's so awesome to think of Jesus as as Advent being Jesus coming as a coal from the altar. that he is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the revelations and insights from your word. Thank you for the chance to learn and discover those together. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to fulfill that calling into the world that you've called us to do, to be spokespersons, ambassadors for the good news. Thank you for forgiving us and giving us new life. Lord, help us to be those who don't condemn, but those who offer the good news. Lord, I pray for my friends today. May you bless and encourage and strengthen each and every one of them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you so much for being on today. Thanks for being part of this podcast. Thanks for liking, subscribing, sharing it. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for hitting the like button before you leave. Really appreciate all of that. You guys have a great day. We'll be back at it tomorrow as we continue on in we'll jump back to Luke, but other than that, we'll be in Isaiah and 2 Thessalonians again tomorrow. And we'll jump back over into the Gospel of Luke tomorrow. You guys are awesome. Appreciate you guys so much. Have a great day. Those of you guys on the audio podcast, thanks for listening. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.